The whole point behind these teachings for the Holy Spirit is to clarify the confusions that we have about who He was, who He is, and the things that He does. I didn't want us to have such a gap in between the teachings, because I was going to finish off with this, maybe do some other stuff, and then come back. Sometimes a topic that you go over and over, there's material that you have to cover each time, and for the sake of some, it can be redundant. And Paul knows that, but he said for me to repeat myself over and over. He says that it's not redundant. He says, but it is to your benefit. I think if we could understand the gift that the Holy Spirit is in our life, and we can all understand gifts at this time of year, then we would understand a little more how important that God sees us. You know, when you're a child and your parents are proud of you when you're a little kid, you know, I remember that means something. That kind of motivates you to do better. And that's why we shouldn't have such a heavy hand on our children to expect perfection, because we think that they should see it, but they don't see it. And so we have to give them grace. And God does the same thing for us. And when we find out, and we can really start to understand the way that God sees us, then we might think that the things that He expects of us isn't that hard, because we know that He's not going to look to us and ask us to do something for the sake of failure. He's not trying to put us out there so that He can laugh and say, "Well, I told you so." I don't know. Sometimes those words bring you joy. You know, you see somebody, you see something, you're like, "You know, I tried to warn you." But with your children, it's different, because you don't want to have to say those things. You just want them to learn so they can be strong and prepared for this world. God has given us the Holy Spirit of God, the power that He has that raised Jesus from the dead. He is a warrior. We don't need to sit around. But there's a lot of things about the Holy Spirit that confuses people. And so there's a lot of things that we can talk about and touch on. I guess the next point that I was going to go over here was about the Holy Spirit was a sign for Jesus, for John. See, the one thing that we always think about with the Holy Spirit is we always start thinking about the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that are done through Him. And we start to desire those things. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's kind of neat to be able to do those things, to capture the hearts and imagination of people. Maybe it's for self-elevation. And maybe it's truly to bring the glory to God. But we're not given the option now, today, to do the signs and wonders and miracles that were done through the Holy Spirit in times past. But we are given the same Holy Spirit, and He is more than capable of doing those things in our life. But we have to get people to understand who He is. And for ourselves, we have to clarify, because see, not all of us have sat under this teaching for years and years, or most of our life. A lot of us have come from different denominations. And this particular denomination that I came from, they truly were confused about the Holy Spirit. It affected everything about their life, because their whole goal was something different than what God wanted them to do. Their constant goal was to reach out and touch the Spirit and to have Him be pleased with them. I got to tell you, God is pleased with you now, or you would not have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And what He's pleased about is not the life that you've lived, but the recognition of Him that you're willing to make a change. So let's just look at this sign that was for John, and to see how that impacts us today. Matthew 3:7-12. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers." Now that word means generation of the snake. So that means that their teaching went all the way back to the garden. And when you had Adam and Eve and you had the deception of the snake, they would have listened to the snake. When you had Cain and Abel, they would have been the ones that would have gotten mad when Abel satisfied God because they didn't bring what God wanted and they got mad. It's a generation of the snake. They went all the way back. He asked him, he said, who warns you to flee the wrath to come? He's saying you certainly weren't listening to scriptures. Basically, what Larry was saying this morning, why are you here? He's saying, why are y'all here? Y'all not here to hear me teach. Y'all are here for something else. But he said, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Why are you listening to what I have to say? You ain't listening to anything else. Verse 8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not faint to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. And what that means is, he says, don't think to say to yourself that you are a physical Jew and that God is pleased with that and that alone. What does that matter today? We can't say that because we're a Christian and because we're a Christian alone that God is pleased with the fact that we are only a Christian. He says, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every Christian that does not bear good fruit, they will be thrown into the fire. Every Christian that has not led that life of repentance, every Christian has an expectation of themselves in God's eyes. He told the children of Israel, and they were the only ones that Jesus came to. He told them, he says, that axe is laid at the root of the problem. And he says, just because that you're a Christian, he says, don't think that you're going to flee the wrath to come. There is an expectation of faithfulness from a Christian. There's an expectation of growth. If we become a Christian and we walk out of the church and we go back into the world, or we just sit here with deaf ears, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to die. Anyway, what I want us to see is in the 11 going down. He says here, the context is talking about being thrown into fire, those who don't bear fruits worthy of repentance. He said, indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I won't stop right there. See, what they see is that John baptized with old water. But he says the one that's coming is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. And so they think that in order to receive the Holy Spirit of God, that they've got to be baptized by fire. And that water baptism, that doesn't mean anything anymore. Because they want to be baptized with fire. They want to see the Holy Spirit come into their life. But God tells us, Scripture tells us what that fire is. If we'll just read. Verse 12. Now remember, the context here was, those who do not bear fruits worthy of repentance will be thrown into the fire. Verse 12, he said, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. Talking about the wheat and the tares. I don't really understand all this. I had to look up to see what the threshing floor was and what the wheat and the tares was. I didn't know any of that stuff. But he says here that he will gather his wheat into the barn. You know, the wheat can be used. Wheat is in reference here to the saved. But the chaff, the other stuff that's left behind, the tares, they look like wheat, but they can't be used. And he says here that he'll bring the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's the unsaved. You're going to be baptized, all right. You can either choose to come forward to be baptized by water, or God will baptize you with fire. And that fire that he's talking about is hellfire. And you have denominations today that sit and they holler and they scream, and people like that kind of charisma in the service, and they like that kind of power, and they like that kind of feel, because they get all excited and they tell you about being baptized with fire like it's a good thing. They're deceived. So what do? We turn a deaf ear? We just look the other way? Or do we try to help them? You see, if our child was about to stick their hand in an open flame, and I don't know what age solid common sense starts hitting, But you could probably tell a two-year-old in a fire, hey, granddaddy dropped a dollar over there. Go get it. You know what he'd do? He'd stick his hand right in the fire. Why would we let people do that? We wouldn't want our children, our friends, to do that. But yet, for the sake of our friendships, and for the sake of not looking like a fool or causing problems, we'll just let them believe what they want to believe. What happened here when this was being taught, all of it was going on here, this was a sign from God to one man that went out into a world that hated him to make a difference. Nobody saw what John saw, and we'll get to that in a minute. So he was ridiculed. He had no life. He dressed in camel hair and ate locust and honey. He lived off the land, whatever he had. He looked like a crazy man. But yet he got up in front of people, and he didn't care. He got up in front of people, and he showed them the truth. Because God had shown him. God was with him. He knew what God wanted of him. If we go back to some of the teaching that we had before this, we had went into the Old Testament, and we had showed that by the end of the Old Testament, that they had 400 years of silence. And then all of a sudden, we see John start to preach and to baptize about the coming Messiah. 400 years of silence, and then all of a sudden, here comes John. And he starts teaching about a baptism of repentance for remission of sin. He starts preaching about the Lord. And these people are hungry. They're coming to him. Then there's people, like he talked about with the Pharisees. He said, why are you coming? You should know this already. You're just coming out here because you want to see what a fool has to say. If you look back on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches the first gospel sermon, he starts it off about the prophet Joel, and he says, these are the days prophesied about the prophet Joel. He says that I will pour out your spirit on young men and young women, or men and women, and he says that I will prophesy and I will send visions and I will dream dreams. And so the people that believe that you're being baptized by fire, they believe that all these things are coming through that baptism of fire. No, if you look at John, and then you look at John into the apostolic age, that's what he was trying to show us. Joel was prophesying about these apostles that would come, and that they would pour out the Spirit through a water baptism. Paul dreamed dreams. Peter had visions. You remember? All these things happened. The Holy Spirit has always been at work. We looked at that last time. From the beginning of the world, when Moses parted the Red Sea, all these things the Holy Spirit had been behind. And so when the prophet Joel was talking about, he was talking about the same thing that Ezekiel was talking about. It was a new work of the Spirit coming. And we have people today, many people, friends and family, that sit in a denomination that believe that baptism by fire will bring about the speaking in tongues, the prophesying, the dreams. And Joel said these things were going to happen, and they started with John. He said these are the days that they were going to happen. Because in the time of John is when the Holy Spirit was poured out, not through his immersion, not through his baptism. And I know that his head was cut off before the apostles baptized on the day of Pentecost. But had that man lived a normal life, it was within his time span. It was within his time that these things were going to start happening. And God did all of this for a man that was crazy, looked crazy, I mean, come to preach, lived a short life, and his head was chopped off. And all these things that we see here, Scripture prophesied about John, and all these things were done so that John would be able to see a vision, to see something that you and I didn't see. We see it by faith, but John actually saw it. And all these people have taken these things that were assigned to John, and they've twisted them all up. Luke chapter 3, 15 through 16. And this is what that he had done for him. It's the next one. He says, "Now as the people were in expectation, and they all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all." Now this is important, because John answered these people, and he said to all of them, because they were like, maybe he's the Christ that's coming. I mean, there's been a silence. Nobody's heard anything. Maybe John is the one that we've been expecting. And he heard this murmur, heard these murmurs. Maybe some of them even asked him. And John answered to all these people. And he said this, "I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to lose. He will baptize you." Now, not just the apostles, but the all that he was talking to, with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, this same place believes that the Holy Spirit will baptize with fire, but it will only be certain people. That the apostles were baptized with fire when the tongues of fire came upon their head. They believe that they were baptized by fire. And so they want that in their denomination. He didn't say to just the apostles. He said to all. And that's important because that fire baptism that's coming, that hellfire baptism that's coming, all of us are in danger of that if we don't remain faithful. The unfaithful world has that as an assurity. But the ones that don't remain faithful, he's told them that baptism is coming. You see, Ezekiel preached a new work of the Spirit coming. Malachi, if you look in there, he began to preach about John. John began to preach about Jesus to come. And Jesus, we will see in another study, preached about the coming Holy Spirit. God's whole plan was His Son would come and atone for those sins. And once that happened, it wasn't just the atonement was enough. He saw and understood the struggles that you would go through. He loved you this much that He gave you this power of God to come and live within you. And there are good people today that believe they have to reach out to try to touch that Spirit. They have to please that Spirit before He will come into their midst. Totally misunderstanding that this, what was going on right here, was a sign for John. And we can go all the way back into Ezekiel and see that a prophecy started there that Malachi even preached about John. And when it came to John, he preached about Jesus. But Jesus wanted us to see the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit in us will glorify Christ, which brings glory to God. And He loved you that much to bring the Holy Spirit into your life. God was confirming to John by this sign of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was the one coming who would baptize with the promised indwelling Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, we ran across some disciples. Paul ran across some disciples of John, and he asked them, "Had you received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "We've not even heard whether there's a Spirit or not." Because, see, John told them that there was one coming that would baptize with the Holy Spirit. If we read John 1, 32 through 33, he says this, "And John bore witness, saying," now this is what all this led up to. This is what was promised to John so that he could know that Jesus was the one that was preached about. This is evidence for us. He said, "John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." You ever seen that? When people are baptized, when people are immersed in this water, you ever seen anything happen? See, this is one of those passages by faith we know that it did happen. Because we either believe this or we don't believe it. John saw the Holy Spirit coming from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Jesus. And he said, I, John, did not know him. When Jesus showed up, he was waiting on someone, but he wasn't waiting on Jesus the carpenter to show up. He didn't know who he was. But by faith, he knew that he was coming. He says, I, John, did not know him, but he, God the Father, who sent me to baptize with water, said to me, this will be your sign, John. God himself gave one man a sign. The Holy Spirit from God, seeing him come from heaven and alight upon an individual as a promise that this was the one. This is evidence with which to base our faith on. And he tells John, upon whom you, John, see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that was assigned for John lives in us. John lost his head to be able to see this. And God loves us so much. And that was the whole point. He showed us by the death of his Son that this would bring about a Holy Spirit that would live within us. To give us the power to overcome this world. To give us the power to forgive sins. Do you know you could do that? When you take an individual and they come forward and they sit here and they say, you know, I want to give my life to Christ. I need to be baptized. Because they believe the words that you have sit there and told them. And you take them up into the baptistry and you baptize them into Christ. You say, I baptize you for the remission of sin. And it's not by our authority. It's by the authority of the Holy Spirit living in us. And God gives us that right to take an unsaved individual who confesses Christ and to baptize them. And with John, John got to see this all firsthand. You see, this was only for John. This was a sign that Jesus was the one. No one else saw or heard the voice that followed from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I read that verse many times. I looked over it many times. And I didn't realize that it was only John that heard God the Father's voice come out of heaven and say, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he did that for John so that John would know, so that John would know that Jesus was the one. You see, Matthew 16:17 says this, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Do you remember what happened there? That's when Jesus asked, he said, who do you say that I am? Do you know that the Bible teaches in order for an apostle to be an apostle, he had to witness the baptism of John to the resurrection of Christ? So all of these apostles were there when John was baptizing. And when Jesus was baptized and that voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. No one heard that but John. Because if not, then this right here, this would have been common knowledge. When he asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? He said, well, when you were baptized by John, I heard a voice from heaven saying you were his Son and you were well pleased. My point is this. I want us to see this. How special do you think you would be if God gave you a revelation and no one else? If God lets you hear His voice say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, how special do you think that you would feel if God let that happen? I would say pretty special. The Holy Spirit that lives in us, He's trying to show us we're that special. Because the revelations that you get through studying Scripture for being faithful to Him, not everybody else gets. You are getting a revelation from God that no one else is getting. Because you look around. People don't see this stuff. They're confused about the Holy Spirit. They're confused why you come to church. They're confused if you even have to come to church. Right? We see all this. But God has revealed this to you through Scripture. Because you have taken the time to look and read. See, prior to this, Peter didn't know who Jesus was. And God revealed that to him. This is why receiving the indwelling Holy Spirit was from John's baptism only happened to Jesus and no one else. It was a sign for John. See, a lot of people will go back and they'll try to confuse the waters and they'll say, no. John baptized with water, but the Holy Spirit wasn't given in that baptism. There's a baptism that's coming with fire. That's the one you want. Because the water baptism didn't bring the Holy Spirit. They can't say that. The Holy Spirit was brought to Jesus. What a witness for us. If you're wondering what the baptism does for you, we look to Christ. He's our example for everything else, isn't He? Jesus received the Holy Spirit through water baptism. So they can't say that John's baptism didn't give the Holy Spirit to anyone. They're wrong about that. In fact, this is when Jesus was anointed. Acts 10:37-38 says, "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." Context is after the baptism that happened to Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth in that baptism with the Holy Spirit and with power. God has anointed you when you are immersed. And you think, okay, yay. He anointed Jesus that way. And Jesus went on to preach the kingdom of heaven. He saved souls. And He died. And He raised. What do you think our mission is? The Holy Spirit's been given to us to reach out, to preach, to save souls. One day we're going to die. And one day we're going to raise. The same way that He did. God loved John enough, loved this world enough, that He showed him what happened in immersion. Scripture tells us that Jesus was anointed in that immersion. So what do you think happens when we go through our immersion? How much do you think God loves us? Man, if you thought that God gave you a personal revelation, I know that you would think that you were special. Because you know why? A lot of people that stand up here in my place, they think that through me, through someone in my position is where revelations come and they teach and they desire that position. Because they think they're the man. They think that they are how God works through this congregation. I'm very fortunate to be able to be up here and teach. But God works through His Word and through the Holy Spirit to teach and bring about a conversion. And if you look and you search Scripture the way that a teacher, the way that an elder, the way that a hungerer does, a seeker to find God, you'll see the same thing that I see. He'll teach you. He'll show you the same things, but you have to want it. And being up here is not a place of authority. I know it is a place of authority, but it's a place of honor. Because God allows me to teach. With all the mistakes that I've made in my life, and all the struggles that I go through, and all the bad decisions that I've made in my life, God still works through this to teach somebody. With all the evidence that we have just looked at, and all the evidence that we've seen, people still only see on the day of Pentecost tongues of fire, baptism by fire, speaking in tongues, and working of miracles on the day of Pentecost. That's all they see. They missed the Holy Spirit in all ways possible. You know what the miracle was on Pentecost? Is that somebody like me could be saved. That's the miracle of Pentecost. And all they see is that I could speak in another tongue. Or the baptism of fire or the working of miracles. That I could lay my hand on something and it would raise. They missed the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that's given to you by God to give you life and for you to show that life to others with all of your might. And you may look like John to some people, a crazy person. Look at this fool. Because the person that I tried to help, and I wrote that down and sent it out to try to help them, they said, look at this dodo. Somebody else don't know what you're talking about. So, I moved on. I don't know what I look like up here preaching. I never listen to my sermons. I don't want to. But through all the things that I do up here, I hope you see one thing. And that's that God's at work in your life. John's whole life was committed to showing people the one that was to come. And on his deathbed, when they had him in chains and they were about to take his head, he saw that Holy Spirit come upon Jesus. Saw him alight upon him. And right before they took his head, he said, let me know if Jesus is the one. All he wanted to know was through his life, did I show them Christ? That's all he wanted to know. I hope that's why you're here this morning. So that you can know for sure that God is at work in you and the wonderful gift that he has given you through the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us of a plan of salvation. The Bible tells us how that we can be saved. If we heard a voice from heaven say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we heard that voice, would we believe it? That's what we're hearing when we read Scripture. God proclaiming it from the rooftops. Everybody has access to this word. It's some time in their life or another. It's time that we listen. And it's time that we see what John saw. God at work through the Holy Spirit. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?